All right. We're going to talk about love today.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you ever learned how to love?
Yeah, but I know.
We're going to learn today, next few weeks. Let's pray.
Yeah, let's do it.
Dear God, thank you for these beautiful little souls. We pray that you open their hearts, open their eyes to see their need for you. Give them that love for you, Lord, that only you can give, only you can grant. So we pray that you would do that in them and in all of us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. We are in verses 9 to 11 today. My Bible, the ESV, labels this section Marks of the True Christian. I don't like that because I think these are commands. This is not something for you to look at and say, yeah, that's me or that's not me. This is what God says is the outflowing, the overflowing of what he does in us. And it starts with love. Now love makes us do some crazy things, doesn't it? Love can inspire us to do amazing things. Love can be both our motivation for doing what is right or our excuse doing what is wrong. It can drive us to live. It be our excuse when we sin. Rightly applied, all you need is love. Wrongly applied, if you can't be with the one you love, honey, love the one you're with. We've seen it, and we've heard all in the name of love. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, love in its deepest sense means responsibility. It means a person's readiness to respond to the needs of others. Shakespeare said, the course of true love never did run smooth. And the poet Gibran said, when love beckons to you, follow him, though his ways are hard and steep. It's been sung that what the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. Love will keep us together. Love lifts us up where we belong. There's plenty of source material for me out there when looking on love. But it goes the other way, doesn't it? Love hurts. Love scars. Love wounds and marks. The sweetest of loves can be the coldest goodbye, and this one's for you. Love is a battlefield. The world can seem very confused about love. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? What is love? How do we love? So we need a more grounded perspective, and thank God we have a biblical perspective. Paul tells us in Colossians 3:14, above all, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Above all. Now think of all the things that the Bible talks about. And it says, above all, put on love. John says, here's what John says about love in 1 John 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Sounds pretty important. Jesus himself, greater love has no one than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends. And he continues, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So love is very important. In Romans 12, Paul is telling the church how Christians should live in the light of the love that they have received. They should live wholeheartedly, we learned, fully devoted to God, unlike the rest of the world lives. They should be devoted to one another, to the unity of the church, committed to their brothers and sisters in the church. They should use the gifts that God has given them, each one of them, to build up the church and to glorify God. And now today and in the next few weeks, we'll see how they are supposed to love genuine Christian love. Let me read, starting with verse 3 through verse 11. Excuse me. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body with many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. And he will continue to go on and on. And we'll get to those in the upcoming weeks, Lord willing. But in verse 9, Paul tells us to let love be genuine. Make sure that it's real. Without hypocrisy. Without phoniness. How do you do that? How do you love in a genuine way? Sometimes we need to step back from our Bibles. We've read them so many times. We've heard some of these verses so many times. We need to step back and really think about what was just said, deeper than the surface level. I'm going to get a little nerdy on you here for a second. There's not the let. It is just love genuine, right? Love genuine. So there's a verb. That's our verb. That's the action we are to do. And the rest of the section, what it look like verbs, where it says to outdo one another or do not be slothful or rejoicing in hope or being patient. These are what we call participles, and they support the verb. So, for example, if we were to say come and worship, worship would be the verb. And how are we worshiping? We are singing, praying, reading of Scripture. These things describe how we are worshiping. So the verb in this is to love genuine. And how we love genuine are all the things that follow after it. Love is an emotion that expresses itself in feeling, action, words. How do we get genuine love? Especially when we're commanded by Jesus to love our enemies. Love our neighbors. Love one another. And he's saying, love genuine. He's not saying, do loving actions. He's not saying, it's okay to dislike. just do loving things and say loving things. He's saying it better be genuine. Love in a genuine way. We can't just drum that up, can we? I disagree with those who say do the loving action, and that's love, even if there's not love in your heart. I think that's against the Bible's intent. It's certainly against what Paul's intent is here in Romans 12:9. We are to fight for love. In here, we are to fight for a loving heart. We are to fight for loving thoughts. We are to fight to come up with loving words and loving actions. Not just when it suits us, but at all times. Fight so that all that you do comes from a loving heart. So you have to guard that heart, because there are all sorts of things that want to creep in to our heart so that the response isn't love. Right? That's what they get. That's what they deserve. We get all sorts of bitterness, anger, resentment, all sorts of things that come into our heart. So then they respond. It preps our heart, and our heart is postured that way, and it's just not a one-time thing. We allow that to be the case so that over and over, as it comes in our mind and it works its way into our heart and it lives there, so then our initial responses, pretty soon, it starts up here. It's not loving. We don't control it. It starts to live in here. It's not loving. We don't control it. Pretty soon we can't control our words. The words that come out of our mouth aren't loving. We can't control our actions. The things we do aren't loving. So it has to start with what we think and what we feel. We have to guard against unloving things. How do we get a loving heart in the first place? The Bible says it has to come from God first through His Holy Spirit. We love because He first loved us, right? 1 John 4:19. Paul says in Romans 5:5, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. This is our new birth. Our love, real love, biblical love starts with being born again. Starts with having our eyes opened, or regeneration, or quickening, however you want to say it. That's when love starts. We see. We start to get a love for God. We see that we've sinned against God. We see that our whole life has been unloving towards God. And we've sinned against Him, and we deserve the punishment. So we cry out for forgiveness through Jesus Christ. But then from there, we live a life of love for God and love for others. That's the Christian life. That's the Christian life. But that has to start with that new birth, with that coming to saving faith and it pouring out of there as our source. You want to drum it up inside you? Those feelings are gone. You go back to that moment. Maybe you've not had that moment. You go back to God and say, give me that heart, please. I want that heart of love. But we go back there and we remember that we're sinners with hardened hearts. And we're not better than others, right? None of us in here are better than another one. So we all had to have that heart given to us by God so that we could love. And He did that. So for the Christian then, everything we do, every single thing we do must be done under the umbrella of love. Everything. If you don't believe me, I'll give you 1 Corinthians 16:14. Let all that you do be done in love. It's literally a command. All that you do be done in love. So in God's graciousness, He's given us His Holy Spirit to dwell within us then and guide us through all things loving. Is this loving? right? So we need to ask ourselves. Because every word we say is filtered through this question before I say it. Is this loving? Is this loving? How is this loving? Would Jesus say this is loving? Every action that you do is asked, is this the loving thing to do here? Am I doing this out of a heart of love? Every thought that you entertain, am I thinking loving thoughts? Will thinking this way result in love, more love, or less love? It's not optional. This isn't optional. We treat love like it's optional in the church. This isn't ideal Christianity reserved for the holiest among us. Most of us are sinners, but that one or two, they're really holy and they're really loving. This is basic ground level, street level, entry level Christianity. We are to do this as our baseline. And I'll refer you back to the passage in 1 John 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God. Excuse me, that's your new birth. And knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. We use that name Christian. We belong to Christ. This is how we identify. This is who we are. Well, guess what? He is love. And he's commanded us to love. And he's been the example of that love. So we must love. And when we don't, our prayers of forgiveness and repentance need to come as quick as they do when our prayers for other sins do. When we realize, when the Holy Spirit convicts us that that was not loving. We got to guard against unloving, hypocritical, disingenuous hearts, or it will harden you. It will harden you if you let your heart be unloving. If you don't let love be genuine, constant, at all times, it will harden you. The heart is a muscle, and when we stop using it like we're supposed to, it will harden, and we will then live in the hardness of our hearts, unable to love as we were created and redeemed to do. So let love be genuine, be real, not phony, coming from the inside at all times. And then, only then, with hearts that guard against unloving things or not love or unloveliness, hypocritical love, you're guarding against those things, then do we walk in it how the rest of Romans 12 is describing. All the rest of these verses are going to describe how you walk in genuine love, genuine Christian love. And so we're going to look at a few of those today. And as I said, we'll continue with that in the weeks to come. Genuine love hates, abhors what is evil, and holds fast to what is good. Sin is not love. If the Bible says it's sinful, it's not loving to do. It's hypocritical love. Love doesn't push others to sin. As much as our world wants to say that it is, it was the loving thing to do. We've heard that so much, right? Especially when it comes to unborn children. I wasn't going to be able to give them the life that they deserved. So it was the loving thing to do. They were going to be born with some difficulties. It was the loving thing to do. That's not love. That is sin. Love abhors what is evil, holds fast to what is good. If God says that it is evil, then it cannot be love, and it is hypocritical love. Genuine love loves with brotherly affection. This means a devotion. True devotion. It's not apathetic. It's a feeling. It's an emotion. We love. We're just not going through the emotions. We feel the things for each other. That's the hardest thing, I think, about the Christian life is we're carrying each other's burdens. And so when one person is going through some difficulties, we're loving them with affections. We're not just going through this prayer request and going through the motions of, okay, we're praying for the things going on here. It's good. We should do that. But it bonds us. God knows these things are going on. Why do you think he commands us to pray for one another? It bonds us together. It builds that brotherly affection. It builds that love for one another. And we carry these things. And we're not going through these things alone. It's not apathetic. It's not done without feeling or without emotion. It's an emotional bond we have together. Something is seriously wrong and sinful when we feel a closer bond to unbelieving friends, coworkers, TV characters, cats, dogs, than we do brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm saying that to this guy. Genuine love seeks to outdo one another in showing honor. It isn't disrespectful towards each other. It cares about the, it wants to honor the other person. Not that, you know, kind of conceited, ego-driven game of one-upping each other. That's not what Paul has in mind here. It's being exemplary in how we treat each other, in our good works and our behavior towards one another. It doesn't say, well, they treated me like this, so I'm going to treat them like this. This is, they treated me this way. No, I'm going to do the loving thing and treat them well. Love is not slothful in zeal. We have to be careful with zeal, because zeal can go off the deep end. Can get misguided quickly, but genuine love is zealous. Slothfulness is going through the motion, the formalities of love. Slothfulness is lazy. Love is active. It seeks, how can I show love here? How can I be loving here? Even when things are difficult, even when someone is difficult with you, how can I be loving here? I want to be active in this. Zealous love is fervent in spirit. There's an intensity that comes from the Holy Spirit. It's God-given and God-driven. It shows itself through extreme acts of love. Right? These are things when someone does something loving for you in this way, serves you, and you're just dumbfounded that someone would love you in such a way. You feel undeserving of that. But they're led by the Holy Spirit. And they want to love you and they want to sacrifice for you. Zealous love, fervent in spirit. These things are what we are called to do. Genuine love, lastly, serves the Lord in that fervency of spirit or that intensity of the Holy Spirit. This means that zealous love, intense love, doesn't sway from obedience to Jesus and service to our Lord. Genuine love obeys Jesus. Now, Jesus commandment is to love, so fits right in there. But to obey the things that he's called to us to do, the way he's called us to live. Many times we'll do something in the zealousness and intensity of our convictions, our worldly convictions, whether they be right or wrong, and the words or the actions or the results don't look anything like obeying Jesus. We're convicted in our worldly convictions. We respond in our worldly convictions. It's anything but loving. There's no intent in it to point that person to the glory of Jesus Christ and how wonderful Jesus is. It's mostly just proving that other person wrong or knocking them off their pedestal or knocking them down a few notches or putting them in their place. Say, I want to do this. Is it in my heart to bring glory to God? Therefore, love God. Is it in my heart to show that person how great our God is? That's the loving thing to do in those situations. That's how we serve the Lord in genuine love in those situations. Paul wants us to love with a genuine Christian love, and a genuine Christian love obeys Jesus, serves Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it serves with passion because it's doing it out of a love for Jesus. So some quick application for love, genuine Christian love, before we take communion together. Love genuinely and with integrity. Christians must love without hypocrisy. Our actions, words, and inner attitude should align. So constantly measure if your love lines up with God's love. Do what I love line up with what God loves? Am I saying this how God would say this? Love with discernment. Love doesn't ignore evil. It rejects it. It clings to the good. And this combats cultural tolerance that accepts sin of all kinds by calling them love and calling them loving. Of course they love. When you don't have a heart that loves God, you're going to love other stuff. Jesus said this. You will love the darkness and not want to come to the light. Love with affection. The word there, brotherly affection, the word in the Greek conveys like a family type warmth, a loving family type warmth. Our church should reflect this kind of brotherly affection, and we do. We do. We have a good loving church, but we can always improve, right? We can improve. We don't want to be stagnant or we'll be going backwards, but we want to improve on how we can love each other like a family. Our default must be brotherly affection. Fourth, love with humility. Outdoing one another in honor is a countercultural call to decrease while others increase. It's not what's in it for me, it's what I can do for others. That's our flesh. Our default is, how do I get the best for me out of whatever the situation is? So we want to go in prayerfully with asking God to give us a heart of love and say, how can I be focused on what's best for others? And I'll trust that God is going to supply me with what's best for me. Amen? That's how we love. That's how love works in a marriage, right? When your concern isn't what you're getting out of it, but how much I can love and build up the other person. And trusting that that same thing is going on in their heart and they are going to work that way. And that's how it works in friendships. And that's how it works in the church. Pour into each other. Pour into each other. Trust that God is going to have them pour, someone pour into you. And when he doesn't, at certain times, there's purpose in that. God wants us to cling close to him in that. But trust in that. Lastly, love with zeal. Christianity is not half-hearted. Paul calls us to fervency, fueled by the Holy Spirit in serving Christ. So take notice what holds your affections. Take notice what holds your affections. If I care more about the guys on my football team than I do about the people I'm living life with who Jesus died for, then something is wrong with me and I need to pray accordingly. Take notice what guards and holds your affections. We can't fake love with God. We can fake it with each other, right? We can put on a loving face. We can put on loving words that don't really come from in here. We can do things that look like love that we know aren't coming from a place of love. We can even fake it to ourselves. But we can't fake it with God. He knows what's going on in there, and he knows when that's coming from love or not. So let our love be genuine. Let your love be genuine. Love genuinely. And as a genuine expression of the love of God that dwells within you. You want to grow in love? Grow closer to God. Grow closer to Jesus. And just being near him, being with him all the time, is going to overflow in love for others. You want to grow for love for others? Pray for him. Pray for him. As a celebration of that love, of the love that put love within us, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper right now. So as the men come forward, I want you to contemplate the love that was shown to you. And God lowering himself, becoming one of us. Living a life. Living the way, all of this way that Paul's described, that's how Jesus lived. He loved genuine. And he was an example for us. So love genuinely. Contemplate that love. Contemplate how he exemplified everything Paul is describing in genuine love and more. Let the partaking of the bread remind you that his body was given up for you in love so that your sins, your unloving heart, your unloveliness would be forgiven so that you could love genuinely. Let the partaking of the wine remind you that his blood was shed for you in love so that you would be part of this new covenant loving community, receiving a new heart of love. And with that new heart of love, we love him first, and we love our brothers and sisters in that new covenant, genuinely, rightly, honorably, with zeal, and with brotherly affection. This represents love. Paul says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" This is love. In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Pray. Thanks, buddy. Lord, love, we can barely grasp it. We feel it. We know it. But we have been spending all of our lives trying to understand it. So we pray, Lord, that you would first fill our hearts. If there are anyone here who hears my voice and has not been given that new heart to love you and love others, I pray that today would be the day, but I pray that you would fill all of our hearts with love. Help us to love you for who you are. Love you for what you've done. Lord Jesus, help us to not just know the facts and accept them as true of what you did, but to love it and to love you, Lord. And we pray that you would put so much of that love within us that it would overflow out of us and for loving one another with a genuine love. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Okay, let's do it.